Tri-County Contracting, worry-free roofing, siding, and windows. To sign up for a free estimate, get info on their worry-free roof tune-up or their free yearly roof inspections, or to get an instant roof quote, visit them online at tricountycontractingwi.com.
So what can you do? We're left asking that question again. So new information coming out on this story all the time. We do know there is no school for the rest of the week there, and I'll let the governor of Georgia, Brian Kemp, have the last word.
This is everybody's worst nightmare.
Live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios at the Avenue in downtown Milwaukee, this is Wisconsin's Morning News. Here's Eric Bilstad and Vince Petrano.
At 6:12 this morning, new information on this tragic start to the school year. Yes, in one community in Georgia, but in America, as we again mourn losses and are again asking, how does this happen? Appalachee High School, about an hour outside of Atlanta, four dead in the school shooting that happened Wednesday morning. Two 14-year-old students, two teachers. The new information is that the suspected shooter did have contact with law enforcement prior to the shootings. More on that in a moment. First, some good news on the victims who were shot but survived. Nine of them, eight students and one teacher.
All of our victims that are at the hospital are going to make it and going to recover well, as we've been told, and we don't expect any more fatalities at this time.
So that's Sheriff Judd Smith, Barrow County, Georgia. The community gathered for a vigil Wednesday night.
I feel like it's just a very healing thing for a lot of people being here and just be around people from the community.
It's a former student from the high school who attended on the suspected shooter. He's 14 years old. No formal charges issued yet, though authorities say he did surrender immediately when confronted by a sheriff's deputy in the school. His name is Colt Gray, and he was known to law enforcement in that community.
Sadly, this is a pretty common occurrence with mass attackers where they have some sort of previous engagement with law enforcement.
That's ABC News contributor Elizabeth Newman. Now, she's a former assistant secretary with the Department of Homeland Security, and investigators say there were red flags. We hear this from time to time, E. In fact, that's exactly what Newman was saying. This is not uncommon when you have someone who's capable of this, that there were signs.
Right, right.
So investigators say the suspect, Colt Gray, that the FBI was aware of him. A year ago, he was accused of making school shooting threats, and investigators met with his family. Kid denied making the threats. They talked with the family. Father said there were hunting guns in the house, but that the teen did not have unsupervised access to them. Elizabeth Newman again here.
Typically in these cases, we see some type of knock and talk. The law enforcement officers go to the house. They talk, in this case, to a father. They ask about guns in the house. They ask about this concerning behavior. And then they walk away, often shrugging their shoulders, going, this isn't good. There's something wrong here, but we don't have the authority to act.
Now, what are they going to do?
Sheriff's office said exactly that at the time, that the threats, quote, could not be substantiated. Well, we have this. Someone said he was saying stuff. We went there. Knock and talk, right? Talk to the kid. Talk to the family. Yeah. No crime has been committed here.
I mean, could you imagine if they just confiscated a bunch of guns or took the kid away? I mean, that there'd be an uproar.
Can't do that. So what can you do? We're left asking that question again. So new information coming out on this story all the time. We do know there is no school for the rest of the week there, and I'll let the governor of Georgia, Brian Kemp, have the last word.
This is everybody's worst nightmare.
Time for an update from the Gruber Law Office's One Call, That's All Sports Desk.
It's happened again. For the third time in four games, the Brewers fall in extra innings. This time, 3-2 to the Cardinals in 10 innings. The Brewers' offense just sputtering. Not one hit with runners in scoring position. 0-15 last night.
Ah.
All we got, an RBI ground out and an Eric Haas solo shot. That was all they could muster. The numbers weren't much better in those other games they lost either, Coach.
You know, very, very frustrating. And we haven't had this stretch of that frustration.
So that was Pat Murphy after the game. Before the game, he also made some comments. He said, hey, look, you can't coast uphill. He says, in his mind, they have an uphill battle, and you can't coast uphill. That's what he said before the game. Clearly frustrated after the game, obviously still bad. The biggest question was what happened in the 10th. Piamps was on the mound, man on second. He got the first two guys out. Then they walked Nolan Arenado, and then they brought in Hobie Milner, who gave up the hit that ended up bringing in a run. They lose the game. So Murphy questioned a little bit about why he would bring in Milner in that spot. He
trying to defend it today. But here we are. Offense could have just helped a little bit, too. No game today before they head west to take on the Rockies tomorrow.
All right. Let's regroup. Right?
Yeah, sorry. Yeah.
And it's only two in a row.
And the Rockies.
Right? Like, no. I know, but I'm like so crushed.
Pots and pans.
Yes. NFL season kicks off tonight in Kansas City. Chiefs host the Ravens. 7:20 kick on NBC. Packers on the ground in Brazil, surviving the 11-hour flight. Head coach Matt LaFleur been pretty quiet about exactly what the itinerary is for the team as they prep for Friday night's game. This much we know. The players are not expecting to see the sights. Wide receiver Christian Watson.
I mean, I'm not doing anything. I don't plan to leave the hotel or do anything while I'm out there. So I'm going to be locked in on the game. I mean, I guess from right now until you know, we get back. I mean, I'm not, you know, there to go on vacation. I'm there to play football games.
I'm not doing anything.
Okay. Hey, that's fine. Good. That's fine.
Football business trip, right? Yep. And before we feel bad for the guys, I mean, this is their job. So go out there and do the job. Fans, another story. We've got some good stuff coming up with some fans who are already there. Kickoff is 7:15 Friday against the Eagles. The game is streaming on Peacock, as you've likely heard, but you can see it locally here on TMJ4. And still a chance for an All-American final in women's singles at the U.S. Open. Big upset on the hard court as Jessie Pegula upset Iga Swiatek in Queens. She's been to the quarterfinals of a Grand Slam, has Pegula seven times. This will be her first time advancing to the semifinals.
I've been so many freaking times, and I just kept losing. But to great players. I mean, to girls that went on and won the tournament. So, I mean, I know everyone keeps asking me about it, but I was like, I don't know what else to do. I just need to get there again and, like, win the match. So, thank God I was able to do it. And finally, I can say semifinalist.
I mean, to her point, yeah, I play some really good people here. Like, I'm playing good matches, and I don't win. So Pegula plays tonight, 7:30 our time, and American Emma Navarro in the other semifinal. That's at 6 o'clock, which I won't see because I have DirecTV and ESPN is off the platform.
You know, you could go someplace else and watch it.
Going to a bar at 7:30 on Thursday to watch
it.
6:20 on Wisconsin's Morning News.
Youth sports, super popular, also at times super intense, but it doesn't have to be.
It doesn't?
Kids can have fun, too, and they can enjoy a positive experience.
What?
Yes, believe it. So it's actually, there's a pretty neat thing taking place Friday, late afternoon, early evening in Cudahy. A nationally known coach is going to be in town to remind baseball and softball players and parent coaches that they can have fun.
Yeah. Ooh, good swing, Brooklyn.
Watching him do that.
Many parents have been through it. They have a son or a daughter in a sport, no matter how competitive, and the team or the league needs another coach or two. Some parents jump at the chance, others not so much. But oftentimes, no matter what, many of these parent coaches just don't know what they're doing.
Am I understood? Don't yell, answer!
Think! Enter Coach Ballgame.
I had a mentor that put his arm around me and said, hey, you have the energy of 50 camels and 38 humans, but that kid hates baseball now because of your tone, your body language, the way you spoke to him. That was a light bulb moment.
James Lowe, otherwise known as Coach Ballgame, has always adored baseball.
I was obsessed with the game. I was, yes, sir, no, sir, absolutely. And you had to drag me off the field. As I started to coach kids, I realized there's not a lot of that out here.
What he realized is that not everyone is obsessed with the game. They still may love to play it. You need to engage the child and have fun with the kid. He says what often happens to parents.
They're on YouTube looking for the best skill video. How do I teach these kids how to hit? How do I teach them how to throw? How do I teach them how to catch? Well, way before you do that, you got to build a relationship.
So Ballgame changed his tactics, and it's worked.
Tip number one, the stance. Feet wide, just outside your shoulders.
His YouTube videos for kids and coaches are all a hit online, and his National Sandlot Tour is internationally known for making stops across the country and beyond, teaching young ball players the joy of playing baseball or softball while giving parents or volunteers a better idea of how to engage with the child.
How can you get these kids to understand you care about them as a person? Become a savant of the person way before you coach the player.
He's super engaging, very positive. That's his big message, positivity and having fun.
If you can't have fun, then why do it?
Steve Adams runs the Cudahy St. Francis Little Baseball Association. He's seen the tour up close.
All right, so as a coach, did you learn anything?
I did. Patience. I didn't picture with the kids. I've coached kids from 4-year-old all the way up to 16, so I've had a broad spectrum. And not every kid learns the same way.
The league has hosted the Sandlot Tour before, and they're going to do it again on September 6th. In the past, Adam says kids have come from all over to see ball game up close.
Yeah. This guy's known. People come from all over the place.
Yes, yes, it is. First year having them, we had a father and son that came from Vancouver, Canada.
So this guy's that well known.
He is that well known.
For coach ball game, it's a passion.
My whole goal is to, I never would have thought it'd be novel, but make baseball really fun and give coaches and parents some tools for their tool pouch when they try and coach kids or navigate this youth sports world. So in a nutshell, that's coach ball game.
Yeah, there you go.
Eric Bilstead, WTMJ News. So pretty cool event. It's before the Packers game starts late Friday afternoon. Just text the word coach. We'll send you all the details. You can get your kid out there. WTMJ talking text line 855-616-1620. Text coach and we'll send you the information.
You know, again, it's one thing if you're talking about professionals or even your elite college. These are children,
yeah.
Right? The right. whole message yeah. of why are we here,
yeah.
right?
It's supposed to be fun.
You can afford to take your foot off the gas a little bit or work with these kids
right.
so they love the game, right? Because if they don't love the game, they're not going to be around.
Right.
I can do it.
And it will be your fault.
Yeah. And yes, and you'll be that guy. That guy taught me to hate the mm-hmm. game. Brewers dropped the series. Now we head west. Sports at 6:45.
Hear this story out of Alabama. Just tragic. A man from Alabama dies on the operating table because his wife claims the doctor took the wrong organ out of his body.
An Alabama widow is in the process of filing a lawsuit after a doctor allegedly removed her husband's liver instead of his spleen, which she says caused him to die on the operating table.
I know I'm not the only wife that has lost her husband suddenly, but the loss of my bill was exceptionally unnecessary and brutal.
Yeah, her husband was told he needed to have his spleen removed immediately because he would bleed to death if it was not happening. He was having pain and 70-year-old went through the surgery. She says he died on the operating table because they took out the liver, which is on the opposite side of the body.
Impossible.
So, Pancake,
almost impossible, I guess.
You have some info on this just because you're married to someone who does surgery
all the time.
How does something like
so
that happen?
Checks and balances? Nothing?
We saw the story. I asked her. I was like, all right, so whose fault is this? Because you walk down the line. Like, is it filling out the chart? Is it filling out the info? Is it the actual surgeon taking out? And she's like, it's everyone's fault, especially in that operating room. Like, if nobody knows what's being removed, but they take something out anyway, or they mistake the wrong organ, that simply cannot happen.
There's no way you'd mistake the organ, though.
Exactly. Like, that cannot happen. That's, like, beyond malpractice.
When I had my knee done at Ortho Wisconsin,
did you have to sign
I can't
it?
Tell you how many people came in and yeah. asked, which knee is it? This is the knee. Yes. Confirm. Good. I think they even put marker on
yeah.
it. Like,
yeah.
this is the knee.
I'm pretty sure anatomy is like one of the classes you have to go through to become a doctor.
Yeah.
That would be, I'm just saying.
That's speculation there, Jimmy.
Oh, this is true.
Well, a tragic outcome here nonetheless.
Yeah,
but I like Pancake's wife's response. It's everybody's fault.
Yep, yep.
6:39 in Wisconsin's morning news.
It's time to recognize an everyday hero. An everyday hero is when we celebrate an average John or Jane Doe who had no idea when they got up one morning that they'd be saving a life. Everyday Hero, sponsored by Azura Memory Care and Assisted Living, transforming the culture of care. Azura Memory Care. Today, Vince, we head to Cocoa Beach, Florida.
Okay, what's happening?
Brandon Terones was walking the pier there at Cocoa Beach. Now, this is a popular area of beach. It's on the Atlantic side. It's south of Kennedy Space Center.
It's where people always go to watch the space launches.
Yeah, yeah. There's right. a lot going on. There's a lot of people. It's very popular. And Terones was walking the pier with his family when he says he saw a bird struggling in the water below, maybe 30 yards off the shoreline there at the beach.
We did think that poor bird might be done for in that moment.
Yeah, he said it didn't look good. So he tells Fox 35 Orlando that there's no way that bird was going to survive. It was really struggling. So They think it was like a sooty tern, which is a type of seabird that can't survive when it's caught in rough waters.
It was either waterlogged or it was pushed in from a storm, and they just get colder and colder. They can get hypothermia.
So that is Heather Peppery Dillon. She's with Wild Florida Rescue. So she also spoke with Fox 35 there talking about this bird. So here's what happened next. Out of nowhere, a surfer shows up, paddles up to the struggling bird, picks it up, places it onto his board, and brings it back to shore, saving the bird.
He's a hero to a lot of people.
That's right. The bird has been saved thanks to this stranger, this anonymous surfer.
Anybody else have the question that I have, or is it just me?
What?
Don't we usually have, like, people getting saved? Like, isn't that the threshold for everyday hero?
Oh, you,
I thought when you're, like, at the beach, somebody saved a guy from drowning or something.
Well, no, he's talking about this bird.
It may only take a second out of your day like this surfer, and it can have a ripple effect and, you know, make a lasting impact. He's a hero to a lot of people.
I'm happy for the bird. I get.
Like, are you, though? You seem almost offended.
Positive juju being sent out into the universe.
Yeah. Well, like, not even like a dog rescue?
Would it have to be a mammal? Like
birds? The animal hierarchy? Like, wow. I guess. Props to this guy. Okay. I'm happy for the bird.
He's a hero to a lot of people.
Everyday hero. Sponsored by Azura Memory Care and Assisted Living. Ooh, transforming the culture of care.
With rough seas in the forecast, we could see more seabirds in distress. Call Wild Florida Rescue or another wildlife rehab if you see one stuck at sea or struggling on the shore.
Time for an update. The Gruber Law Offices, one call, that's all Sports Desk.
You have to go now.
So the Brewers, man, offense just stuck in neutral again as the crew lose in extra innings again to the Cardinals, 3-2 the final after 10 innings. Nothing doing for the crew with runners in scoring position again. Manager Pat Murphy.
Our offense there at the end, we had plenty of opportunity with a man on third and one out again in the Knights and, you know, came up empty.
Before the game, Murphy was already frustrated with the guys. He said before the game, you cannot coast uphill. And in his mind, he feels like they have an uphill battle going on anyway right now. Some people frustrated with how Murphy played his pitching there at the end of the game as well. Brewers are 9 games up over the Cubs, 2 games behind the Phillies for that coveted 2 seed in the NL. No game today. They're back at it. Early start time tomorrow at AmFam Field. They play at 5 o'clock. Tomorrow.
Oh, sure. I wonder if they moved that up because of Packers?
Could be.
Well, speaking of, Green Bay Packers waking up in Brazil this morning, set to play the first ever NFL game in Sao Paulo. The fact that this is an international affair is maybe fun for us, certainly fun for the fans who are there. But kick returner, cornerback Keyshawn Nixon focused on the game, not the venue.
I don't know. It's new. It's a different place, a little different rules. Every country is different. Just got to adapt to play ball. No, I'm excited. Anytime you get prime time, I mean, everybody watching. So everything is emphasized bigger. And that's what you want. At the end of the day, you just put on the show.
Yeah, stage belongs exclusively to the Packers and Philadelphia Eagles tomorrow night, 7:15 kick. You can see the game locally on TMJ4. Tonight, said stage belongs to the Chiefs and Ravens. NFL season kicks off at 7:20 tonight in Kansas City. And 2 American women play tonight at the U.S. Open in the semifinals. Straight sets upset on the hard court in Queens Wednesday night.
Is a Grand Slam 6-2, semifinalist. 6-2. What a night for the American.
What a night for the American. Yeah, Jessie Pegula over Iga Swiatek in straight sets. The American advancing to her first ever semifinal in a Grand Slam. And then American Emma Navarro, she's on the other side of the bracket in the semis. So you could potentially end up with an All-American final.
That'd be cool.
Which would be amazing. And both ladies play tonight in New York. 6:49, Wisconsin's Morning News. At 6:53 on Wisconsin's Morning News, our friend from ESPN Wisconsin, Jen Latta, in the house with us this morning. Packers waking up in Brazil.
You think they're waking up?
But 2 hours ahead, right? So 6, 7, 8:50, almost 9 o'clock.
Yeah. I'd still be sawing logs.
Well, we don't know much. Matt LaFleur has kept kind of close to the vest when they're going to practice, how they're going to do. Like, I don't know. Is there any further actual itinerary out?
There may be. I haven't seen one. The bigger story that we've been discussing is, like, the fact that the guys aren't really allowed to go out a lot, right? Like, they're spending a lot of time in the hotel. Now, again, the game is tomorrow, so it's not like there's a ton of time to sit there and go sightsee in Brazil. But that's been the interesting thing, is how do you pass the time? Chewy says those evening games are the toughest games because your brain is just churning all day long. You've got assignments rolling in your head. And what do I do on this play? And what's this? What coverage did they show on this and this? And like, at some point, you're just exhausted by like the mental load, mm-hmm. and you just want to be on the field. So that's what he says is the toughest thing about a game like this.
Is it a matter of, in terms of these decisions of not going to see the sights? I mean, there's not a lot of time, but, you know, when the teams go out to the Rose Bowl, they're at Disneyland, they're at the steakhouse the steak off and whatever, right? But
steak off.
What is that? What is it? Lowry's, right?
Yeah.
Where they eat the prime rib, right? Whoever eats the most. But, right, I mean, couldn't you squeeze a little something in?
I think there are safety and security concerns, right. And I think that they have advised the players to kind of keep a low profile, which can be hard to do when you are an NFL player. I mean, these guys are easily identifiable, right? And if you know you have two NFL teams that are roaming the streets, you just want to make sure that you don't give anybody an opportunity to behave inappropriately.
Which is hilarious because our fans are the opposite.
Oh,
right.
Like, you can't. You talked to Kristen, didn't you?
Oh, yeah. So, Kristen Bry is there and she was in Rio to start her trip and she went and saw Christ the Redeemer and she said her husband was wearing a Packers hat. And as they're looking at this beautiful statue, this iconic moment, they heard a, "Hey, go Pack."
Yeah, go Pack there.
Love that. Packers fans travel very well. How are you guys feeling about the game?
You know, that's, it's interesting you ask. Like, I have no idea. I feel like we're in a better spot than we were when we started last season.
Well, theoretically,
sure.
We have
many more offensive weapons. You have guys who played together. All new D coordinator. Right. Really excited to see that defense.
Yeah. I mean, Xavier McKinney, I'm excited about him. Let's see what Jair Alexander does after last year having his feet to the fire. Basically, yeah. It was like you weren't good enough last year, Jair. And obviously, you butted heads. You had some conflict with the defensive coordinator. Well, he's gone now. So now you better put up or shut up. Because if you don't perform well, we can't excuse it as being Joe Barry's fault, right? Like, it's all new. So now, you know, that was kind of his, in case of emergency, break glass excuse last year, wasn't it? It was, this guy. He doesn't know what he's doing.
They don't have me
he's
in the right spot.
He's not using right. me yeah, correctly. Right, right. Exactly. Well, gone. So, you know, it'll be a big year for Jair as well. Saquon Barkley for the Philadelphia Eagles, guys.
He's
new this
football,
year.
Right?
If you've watched any of the Hard Knocks with him and the Giants, when he was on the Giants, that did not go well.
Right.
I think he really is out to prove that they should have treated him differently. They should have retained him. And I'm nervous about what he can do against this Packers team. So a very, very good test for week one. But part of the reason you don't know what to think about this Packers team is, the preseason has changed so much.
Right.
Used to be you could watch a couple preseason games and have an idea. Are they vanilla? Yes. But you'd have an idea kind of what your team was. Now, you barely see. What did the starters play? Three snaps?
Three plays.
Right.
So look good, though.
You can't. Yeah, real good. Very good. Exactly. Didn't give me any reason to worry. So I think that's a big part of it. And I'm real curious, guys, to see how the NFL handles this going forward. If the preseason just becomes a formality, right? A chance for some guys to make the roster, but for the most part, you're not getting anything from your starters during that stretch of the year.
It's been increasingly diminished over the years, for sure. And then you've added another regular season game, which I love. I don't know where the players are at on that, but now we play 17 instead of 16.
I wonder.
Talk of an 18th.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, who's even going to see the game tomorrow night? We got Friday Night Lights. I got two cross-country races to watch tomorrow night. Not even going to catch the first half, I don't think.
Yeah, that's a very good point. High school football, big.
Right, and college creeping in on Fridays now as well.
College creeping in on Fridays. We'll be at the Texas-Michigan game this weekend.
Ooh,
so
we
that's a big battle of the Titans.
Yes. She did with her hands the helmets thing.
Big on the sound effects over here.
Great to see you, Jen. 657,
thanks, guys.
Wisconsin's Morning News.